Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents How to Get Over Your Ex in 90 Days by Jennifer Peele. Narrated by Stephanie Rose. Prologue. Jackson Montgomery is replacing Steve Jones as vice principal of Riverton High School. There it was, in black and white. I was so proud of my guy. Although he could have given me a heads up. A girlfriend shouldn't have to read about her boyfriend's promotion in the Riverton Record. But I understood why he had to keep it confidential. I had already forgiven him by phone, and I was looking forward to him making it up to me when he came over for dinner later. He said he needed to talk to me about something important. I made a mental note to pick out my wedding dress. I mean, we had already named the four children we were going to have. Bear, Nick, Bryant, and Liliana. Jackson was a huge Alabama fan and had played football in high school, so I gave in and let him pick out the boys' names. I was also pretty accommodating with the girl's name, too. Liliana was his grandma's name, and we both adored her as much as she adored me. I smiled when I thought of how happy Miss Liliana was going to be when she found out that Jackson had finally proposed. She had been after him to do it for months. I don't think I had been dating Jackson for 2 months when she told him I was the one for him. He never denied it. He would always look at me with those soft brown eyes of his, with the long curled lashes that always seemed to have a hint of mischief in them, and say, "When the time is right." I wasn't pushing him for a proposal. We had only known each other for a year and had only been dating since October. Best 9 months of my life. But I wanted nothing more than to be Mrs. Jackson Montgomery. If ever two people were meant to be together, it was us. We'd met at a teacher-in-service workshop where we role-played how to deal with different disturbances in the classroom. The attraction was instant. As a drama teacher, I loved role-playing. And as a ham and former golden boy who had attended the high school where we taught, Jackson was all for giving it his best. He played the role of a lovesick teen boy that had a crush on his young teacher. That would be me. He wrote, "Hot for teacher" on his pad of paper and flashed it at me. I then had to break his heart with gentle firmness. Sometimes, for fun during last school year, he would walk by my classroom and flash me that note. I couldn't wait to get back to my job. I wondered how different work would be now since he wasn't teaching world and American history and coaching. I knew giving up his assistant football coaching position was going to be hard for him. But being in administration had always been his goal, or at least his father's. At 31, he was on the younger side for the position, but no one was more qualified than him. Not only was he brilliant, but he loved the kids and they loved him too. His new position probably meant we couldn't make out in the prop room anymore. That was going to be a bummer. I jumped up off the couch and checked the lemon, rosemary, garlic, chicken, and potatoes I had baking in the oven. It sure smelled good. I also peeked in the fridge at the chocolate-covered strawberries I was going to let him feed me later. I held my stomach and hoped I would always feel that anticipation deep in the pit of my soul when I was about to see him. I dashed to the bathroom in my small studio apartment and did a quick check in the mirror. I had braided my light brown hair romantically to the side and primed my lips with moisturizer. My green eyes were bright and told the story of how much I loved Jackson. I added a quick layer of mascara to my long, dark lashes and a tint of color on my cheeks. One thing I loved about Jackson was he was all about being casual. I looked down at my white t-shirt and cut-off jeans. It was the perfect outfit for him. When school started the next week, I would be missing my comfortable clothes and lazy summer days. I was adding an extra layer of lip gloss when there was a knock on my door. I smiled. He was early. I didn't waste any time. I rushed to the door and opened it with fervor. I didn't squander a breath before jumping in his arms and wrapping my legs around him and kissing him like I hadn't seen him in days. It had been less than 24 hours. I heard him laugh right before our lips met for their usual long, slow dance. He held me to him nicely and walked us in and shut the door behind us with his foot. He was talented like that, or at least well-practiced. He could even unlock a door while holding me and kissing me like, Well, like he meant it. As he kissed me deeper, I ran my fingers up through his perfectly styled chestnut hair. I could taste the cinnamon gum he had just chewed. He pulled me tighter against him, like he wanted to destroy the space between us. We had about made it to the couch when he released my lips abruptly. He groaned and squeezed me tighter.
"You're making this hard on me."
I smiled and looked into his eyes. They weren't their playful selves. "What do you mean?" He kissed me softly once and leaned his forehead against mine.
"We need to talk."
The way he said it was unlike him. Unlike any way he had ever spoken to me before. I released my legs from around him and basically slid down his tall frame. He took my hand and led me to my sofa. We both sat down at the same time and faced each other. "Congratulations," I whispered. "I'm so proud of you." He ran his hand down my braid, but didn't smile like I thought he would. "What's going on?" I pulled on his tie to bring him in for another kiss. He barely brushed my lips. Okay, I knew something was up. We took our kissing seriously, like a gold medal, first place every time. "Jackson?" He took my hand and rubbed his thumb across it, back and forth and back and forth. He emptied his lungs in a tense breath.
"Dr. Walters is planning to retire in 2 years.
Dr. Walters was the beloved principal of Riverton High School.
"The superintendent has already mentioned to me that I could be in the running, but they want someone with a doctorate."
"You're totally up for the challenge. All you have is 12 hours left and your dissertation." He was already working on his doctorate in education administration.
"You say it like it's not a big deal."
"Jackson, I say it like I believe you can do it. I know how difficult it will be. I had barely finished my master's the year before, and that was tough enough."
"Then I hope you'll understand when I say that I need to quit messing around."
"Sure, I get that." Though I couldn't think of how he had been messing around.
"If I want to reach the top levels of education administration in this state, I need to focus."
"Tell me what I can do to help. I'll help you study, make you dinner every night, you name it." He gave me a smallish sort of grin.
"You'll always be the best girlfriend I've ever had."
I paused, not sure I heard him right. "What do you mean, had? Are you finally ready to change my title?" That's what he meant, right?
"Presley,"
he sighed.
"Maybe if we had met later."
I pulled my hand away from his. I did not like where this was going. For a moment, I couldn't breathe. "What are you saying?"
"I have goals. My father has goals for me. Now is the time for me to realize those. And dating you has become a distraction."
I think I shook my head a dozen times, trying to figure out how to make that sound not as bad as it was. But there was no getting over how terrible of a thing that was to say to me. "I'm a distraction? I thought you loved me."
"I do love you, but..."
"No, Jackson. There are no buts when you love someone. Do you love me or not? Because I know I love you." He reached out to touch my cheek, but I scooted back.
"Presley, with my new position comes extra responsibilities, and the district frowns on administrators dating teachers."
"There isn't a rule against it."
"It's an unwritten rule."
"So that's all you have to say to me?" I felt the tears forming, and I was doing my best to not let them present themselves.
"Presley, I'm sorry. Maybe we can revisit us later down the road."
"You can't put me on layaway, Jackson. You either love me like you mean it, or let me go." He paused for several long seconds. He shouldn't have had to think about it. That was my answer. I stood up and turned from him. The tears found their way down my cheeks. I hugged myself and tried to breathe.
"Presley."
He barely spoke above a whisper.
"I don't want it to be uncomfortable between us when school starts up. We can still be friends, right?"
I couldn't look at him. He sounded like he was a high school student.
No, Jackson. I can't be friends with you. He stood.
I'm sorry to hear that. And I'm sorry I hurt you. I know you won't believe it, but this hurts me too. I didn't come to this decision lightly.
You're right, I choked out. I don't believe you. He barely skimmed my cheek with his lips as he walked by and out the door. I stood there, completely stunned. How did that happen? I felt used and like I had entered an alternate reality. I snapped out of it momentarily when the kitchen timer went off, letting me know his celebratory dinner was done. That's when I lost it. I turned off the oven in between racking sobs, grabbed my purse and keys, and headed straight for Capri's house. I called Jackson every name in the book, and I'm not talking about the good book, in my head on the way over to my best friend and fellow teacher's house. I was blaming her, too. If it hadn't been for her, I would have never moved here. I could have stayed in Colorado and taught school in Littleton where my parents lived. But no, I wanted adventure. Well, if you call living in Riverton, Alabama an adventure, it had kind of felt like it. But that was all over now. How could he just walk away from us? The night before, he'd acted like he didn't want to leave, and he must have told me he loved me a dozen times. Considering what just happened, that made more sense. I'm sure his dad, or like everyone down here called the male parental figure, Daddy, had something to do with it. They had been spending a lot of time together the past few weeks, and Jackson seemed anxious. His dad was always on Jackson about making something out of his life, and I knew Jackson's dad didn't like me. I was too middle class for him and didn't come with the right pedigree. My parents, Bobby and Jan Benson, were blue collar all the way and the best people I knew. My dad was an auto mechanic, and my mom was a homemaker. They raised five healthy, mostly well-adjusted girls. I was lucky enough to be the baby of the family. His dad lived up on his high horse all alone, where all the other wealthy people in Riverton lived, in the coves that sat above the city. The people who lived here called it their mountain. I laughed when Capri told me that. Colorado had mountains. Alabama had hills. Baby hills. Daniel Montgomery II was a piece of work. He was the CEO for some huge high-tech firm in the area. 1,000 aerospace companies surrounded us, with NASA and Marshall Flight Center nearby. His dad ran one that had developed some type of material that was used on space flights to prevent lighting damage. I didn't really understand it. All I knew was he'd made a fortune and a name for himself. He expected his sons to do the same. Daniel Montgomery III, Jackson's older brother, was already well on his way. He was a newly elected judge in the Alabama Appellate Courts. Mr. Montgomery, like he expected me to call him, was disappointed his son chose to be an educator. He felt like it was beneath him. I felt like being a teacher was a higher calling. He relented and let Jackson pursue his dream, but only with the promise that he would reach the highest level. How Miss Liliana had raised such a son, I would never know. I knew she loved Mr. Montgomery, but I could tell that for all his success, it disappointed her that her son hadn't turned out to be a better human being. I guess it didn't matter now. I would have nothing to do with any of their lives, except that Jackson was going to be my boss now. I knew in his new role he would evaluate me, and I would have to get his approval for after-school rehearsals and even the plays I could choose. How was this happening? If only I hadn't signed my contract for the year. The tears and the speed of my VW Beetle increased as I zoomed to Capri and David's place. I had thought I would join the newlyweds in wedded bliss soon. Yesterday, I'd told Capri I thought Jackson was going to be popping the question tonight. I wanted to crawl into a hole and die. I pulled in front of the cute, one-story brick home in an older, well-kept part of Riverton. Capri was so thrilled when they purchased the little fixer-upper and moved in last month. Jackson and I had helped them. Everything in this stupid town reminded me of him. I ran to their front door and pounded on it. Capri took her time opening it. There she stood in her smock,
covered in paint. I'm sure she was working on her next masterpiece. Could she look any cuter, splattered in paint with her short, blonde, bobbed hair and bright blue eyes? She'd looked the same since we'd met in our freshman year of college 8 years ago. At 18, we thought we were on top of the world. Now I felt like I was in the pit of despair. She tilted her head. Honey, what's wrong? I fell into her arms, not worrying that I was staining my white cotton tee. We stood there embracing while the only thing that came out of me were sobs and more sobs. I noticed David come around the corner, look at the scene, and hightail it out of there. When the sobbing was under control, Capri led me to her colorful kitchen table she had hand-painted with gorgeous sunflowers. We sat down and she handed me a box of tissues. I was probably going to need the whole thing and then some. I had never felt pain like this. I physically ached from it. She took up my free, non-tissue-holding hand. So tell me, what's wrong? I've never seen you like this. And we had been roommates long enough to go through some breakups, but I had never been in love like this before. I thought he was the one. Jackson, I shuddered. He broke up with me. He told me I was a distraction, and he was wasting his time messing around with me. Her eyes widened. He did not. I nodded. I can't believe it. I can't believe it either, but it's true. We're over, and I didn't even get a say in it. He's a man slut. I had to laugh a little. We hadn't used that phrase since junior year. I guess it was better than the ovaries before broveries saying we used. All joking aside, Capri, what am I going to do? I love him. I pictured myself married to him and having his children. Her face lit up in one of those aha moments she always got. She jumped up and went to the tiny built-in desk in her kitchen and retrieved her laptop. She brought it back and pulled up an article she had bookmarked. I knew this would come in handy someday. She turned the screen toward me. The headline read, How to Get Over Your Ex in 90 Days, the Healthy Way. Why did you bookmark this? You've only been married for 2 months. I told you, I had this feeling. Now aren't you glad I did? I shrugged. I usually never put much stock into her online reading habits. She was always reading about weird polls and articles about sex and love. I mostly used to laugh at them because most were absurd. Like 10 things to make your man insanely jealous. Who comes up with that crap? Through my tear-filled eyes, I read the article. You probably feel like you've been hit by a truck. I nodded. That's exactly how I felt. The next part, though, was bad news for me. It suggested I break off all contact for 90 days. The article said our bodies craved that person on a chemical level, and seeing them would only fuel that desire. How can I stay away from him? We work together. I turned to Capri for guidance. We'll figure something out. I'll try to run interference at school. I didn't know how well that would work. The drama department and theater were on the same floor as the art department, but they were on opposite ends of the school. What if I petitioned to get out of my contract? Her face dropped. Presley, you can't leave now. You're doing such great things with the drama department. I thought you wanted to enter the kids into the one-act play competition this year. I did. I do. But how can I work with Jackson? They could take away your teaching credentials for a year for breaking your contract, she reminded me. I sighed. I do like eating and paying my bills. Don't let him take this away from you. The kids love you, and you love them. I rubbed my face with my hands. Okay, what else does this article say? Stay off social media, especially Facebook and Instagram. Good idea. I didn't need to see him living it up while I was dying inside. I can do that. What else? Keep a daily journal, mark in your progress, and venting out your frustrations. Okay, I already kept a journal. Try to remember the things you liked to do when you were single and revisit those activities. In theory, that sounded good, but Jackson made everything I liked to do as a single girl better. Capri read on. Be careful about rebounds. Think carefully about starting any new romantic attachments. I couldn't even think about being with anyone else now. And wine. Lots of wine. I took the laptop back from her. Does it really say that? No, she laughed. But it couldn't hurt, right? I think it says here that it can. She waved her hand around. Fine, no wine. It suggests, though, that you be mindful of anxiety and feelings of hopelessness. You need to remind yourself that your mind takes 90 days before it can switch gears and you can picture your life in a different direction. 90 days, huh? They make it sound so easy, I cried. Oh, honey, I don't think this will be easy. Right now, I can't picture my life without him in it. What happened? I don't know, she growled. Sounds like he lost his damn mind. I mean, bless his heart. I love it when you swear in your southern accent. She took my hands. You can do this. By October 24th, you'll have forgotten that Jackson Montgomery ever existed. 90 days? 90 days. She grinned. Day 1. Tuesday, July 27th. I felt like I was dying. The truck not only ran over me, but it backed up for good measure and crushed me over and over and over again. I barely slept, and when I woke up, I immediately reached for my phone. Jackson always texted me, "Good morning, beautiful." All there was this morning was an empty screen. I sat up, rubbed my swollen red eyes, and remembered what the article advised. I needed to erase Jackson from my life. That meant deleting him from my contacts, which meant erasing every text and voicemail he had ever sent me or left me. I tortured myself and read through the last few texts.
Have I told you lately how much I love you? I'm such a lucky guy. Are you up? I can't stop thinking about you.
I loved our late night calls after he would drop me off. What happened? How could he walk away? I selected every text, and my thumb hovered over the delete button for more than a moment. I reminded myself he'd called me a distraction. In an instant, it wiped away 9 months of happiness. I forced myself not to listen to any of his voice messages before I deleted those, too. Finally, I deleted him completely as a contact and blocked his number. Not that he would ever use it again, but I wanted this hurt to go away. So I added that step as a precaution. I was going to do as the article said. 90 days from now, he was going to be a distant memory, a stepping stone to greater happiness, a blip on my radar. I didn't know how that would be possible when my heart was still telling me he was the one, but the ache inside was telling me I had to try. Next up, social media. I pulled out the tablet my parents had given me as a graduation gift when I'd received my master's degree. My older sisters had all cried foul. Perks of being the baby. I felt like an infant now. I wanted someone to wrap me up in a blanket and hold me until the pain went away. A vision of Jackson holding me in the back of his truck, wrapped up in the comforter he had torn off his bed, popped into my mind. This had to stop. I couldn't remember those nights stargazing while we planned our future. A future where we were together. Facebook. I needed to get on Facebook, I reminded myself. I knew I was supposed to stay away from it, and I had planned to, but I had to get on it and turn off all the Facebook notifications my phone kept sending me. Just a few days ago, I had posted a picture of Jackson and me taking a tour of Cathedral Caverns, this amazing cave not too far away. The tour guides had taken us all the way to the back of the cave and turned off all the lights. I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. We used the time, too. Well, I shouldn't be thinking about it. What happened between then and now? Does 96 hours really make that big of a difference? He had to have been thinking about it even during our date. Did I do something to tip the scales? No. You know what? This was him, all about him, and that was the problem. I opened my Facebook account. There are few things I have regretted more in life. He didn't even have the decency to make his change of relationship status private. I was inundated with messages. What? PB&J have broken up? Say it isn't so. Are you dying? Yes, I was dying. I was stupid, and I went against the rules by clicking on his profile. Why, oh, why did I? His wall was filled with old girlfriends, happy at the news, and buddies willing to take him out and show him a good time. There were many congratulations for his job promotion as well, but the one post that struck me the most, and maybe brought me some pleasure, was his grandmother's. I loved Miss Liliana. The fact that she was 80 and on Facebook only made her more endearing. Jackson Duff Montgomery, you better get yourself over to my place and explain yourself. Do you have rocks for brains? I'm cutting you out of my will. That was always her joke whenever he did anything to her displeasure. Her post to me, baby doll, don't you worry. Nana is going to take care of everything. There are going to be wedding bells, or there will be hell to pay. If only she could help. But Jackson would never go against his dad. With that thought, I unfriended him, deleted my PB&J photo album, curled into a ball, and went back to bed. Day 2, Wednesday, July 28th. Dear Mr. Bingley, all my journal entries had started this way since I was a sophomore in high school, and Mrs. Green, my most beloved English teacher, unlocked the world of Jane Austen to me. I became a teacher because of her. She had this ability to unleash a writer in anyone. She gave me the courage to try out for my first play, and when I got the part, she sat in the front row with my parents. Men suck, 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 suck. That's right. How could you leave Jane just because Mr. Darcy told you she seemed indifferent, that her affections weren't what they were supposed to be? And so what if her family wasn't rich or well-connected? She really loved you, you pompous twit. How dare you leave her with hardly an explanation, especially since you told her things that made her blush in the dark of the cave, and you held her like she was your world, and you kissed the nape of her neck and whispered, I love you. I mean, since you danced with her all night at the ball and made her feel like she was important and your intentions were real. Really? How could you? I hate your guts. Presley. That was probably enough journal writing for now. This was my last day of summer vacation. Tomorrow, in-service began, and in 8 days, school started. I didn't know how I could face it. How could I face him? My parents were no help. They said I had made a commitment and I had to follow through. As much as they liked Jackson, they had warned me about the complications dating a coworker could cause. Now, I was reaping the consequences. I threw off my covers. I couldn't waste another day in bed. My dad had reminded me I was a Benson, but I wanted to be a Montgomery. No, no, I was getting him out of my head. I had survived one day. Well, sort of. I looked around at all the used tissues and the remnants of the 2 dozen chocolate-covered strawberries I ate last night. It was somewhat healthy. Dark chocolate was practically medicinal, and strawberries were an excellent source of nutrients. So I had a stomach ache. It went well with the headache, not to mention the ache in the core of my chest. Last day of freedom. What do you want to do? I texted Capri. Sorry, PB. David took the day off so he could take me to the new exhibit at the Huntsville Art Museum. Do you want to come with us? I didn't need to hear her voice to know she was begging me to say no. She wanted to spend the day with her husband. I couldn't blame her. But in my head, I wished them and their cute, love-filled marriage to the fiery depths. Have fun. I'll pick you up for the retreat at 8 tomorrow morning. Someone had the bright idea that our training should be more like a retreat. I thought it was brilliant until a couple of days ago. I was looking forward to sneaking off with you-know-who in the woods, maybe taking a dip in the lake under the dark of night. I hated him, Showering seemed like
Sample complete. Ready to continue?